We have already heard about the grace of God and the love of God. And the love of God is the love for the truth. And the truth is God's Word. And Paul writes to the Thessalonians, because they received not the love of the truth, God sent them strong delusion. So it is really about the Word of God, the revealed Word of God in the first place in these days. And when we have recognized this and believe it, then the Spirit of God will become effective according to the Word of God and fulfill every promise in due time by grace. There are so many things that need to be said, and we will be brief with everything, because in these days we want clarity from God, and that from His Word, so that we can see in what way the Lord works by grace. And I am doing what I have hardly ever done before. I am taking sermons of Brother Branham, reading from them, and comparing how he predicted things so many years ago that would come to pass without his witnessing or foreseeing where they would come to pass. In the word of introduction, we heard about the rest of God, into which the people of Israel did not enter. And I would like to read very briefly from Hebrews 4, and then we will immediately move on to the other scriptures. Hebrews chapter 4, from verse, maybe the last verse of chapter 3. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. That is the whole secret. We can hear the greatest, highest, deepest, and most powerful things from the Word of God, if they are not mixed with faith, if we do not receive and accept them, then they are of no use to us at all. And there are enough people who speak of the great revelations of the Word that God has given to Brother Branham. And that is of no use yet unless we believe them and God can put them into practice. Here it is said, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said. Now this is our great privilege, that we can enter into the rest of God in the midst of a world full of unrest, full of confusion. Everything is going haywire. God has not only promised his people rest, he has led us to rest. I would like to read verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of their disobedience. Two things are said here. In the first part, that the word they heard was of no use to them because they did not mix it with faith. Here, it was of no use to them to have heard the gladdening message because they remained in disobedience. Two things belong together: faith and obedience. Just as unbelief and disobedience belong together, so faith and obedience belong together. And here I keep thinking of Brother Branham saying that every word addressed to us matters. And it is precisely the difficult things that we cannot grasp with our intellect, because they were revealed through the Spirit, that God tests us on whether we believe it and continue on the path of obedience with our God. We know that many things have been revealed that were previously hidden. We also know that we live in a time when things are so close together that they can hardly be distinguished from one another. And when I heard the singers singing here tonight, I remembered how this man, who has come out of spiritualism, he said the following: that in a meeting it was decided to bring this beat music into the churches of believers. And he mentioned the amount in millions of dollars. And everything was done to bring this hellish music into the churches of believers. And what is it? It is the enemy who has come in. We are grateful to God for singing and playing that is pleasing to God. Sometimes, I think you might have heard this, you are walking down the street somewhere, and suddenly you hear such a powerful and strong beat music coming out of somewhere. And it's not just coming from some lower floor, it's coming from hell. And I can remember one day, I don't know if it was in Hong Kong or Singapore, in any case, somewhere around there, When I was walking past a room like that, to go to the hotel room, and suddenly something came over me, and I wanted to call into this happening in the English language.
This is the way to hell and eternal destruction.
This is the way to hell and eternal destruction. But what I wanted to say is, today you can go through all the churches, everywhere, this rock and roll, and this back and forth, and the beat. And people don't know what influence they are under, and where things are coming from. I am thankful to God. I say this again, from the bottom of my heart, that He has spared us from some things, and that He will open our eyes to everything else, so that whatever happens, happens for His name's glory and honor. How many times have we heard Brother Brenner mention that he has named these men who have introduced these things after all, and that these things are coming from the other side? What was it? It was the enemy that came in, and sometimes Brother Brenham even spoke about that. He says, that which was outside, you have now brought into your homes. You no longer went to the cinema and all these things, but you brought everything that was there into your house. Be it in the form of records or whatever it may be. God already knew why He had all these things mentioned. But now to the word of the Holy Scripture. You all know, this is only in passing. We are concerned these days with discerning the will of God, drawing closer to God, and clearly understanding the standard of discernment for all things. And we have found in the past days that the gift of discernment cannot be separated from the Word of God. Every gift of the Spirit must be in conformity with the Word of God. And if we want to use a gift of discernment, it is not by closing our eyes and trying to come to a judgment, but by opening our eyes, looking into the Bible to see whether it is so, and that the standard of our judgment must always be and remain the Word of God, because the Spirit of God will always be in conformity with the Word of God. And there again I remember a saying of Brother Brenham when he gave the teaching to the sisters and said, this is what God requires of you, and He will not let you pass otherwise. And you all know, a lady came with high heels and said, I want to show you that you don't have to listen to this fool. You can walk through. And she also went through and fell head over heels and fell down. It is better to listen to the Word of God, and especially when it has been freshly revealed by God through a mouth, through a cold mouth. And when I think back to the early years, how often was it asked for in the churches of the full gospel? O God, reveal to us your word fresh from the throne. And when his word was revealed fresh from the throne, they did not accept it. What had happened? It was not what they had in mind. God should do things as they saw fit. No, the Holy Scripture says, who has been his counselor? Oh, how incomprehensible are his ways and unsearchable his judgments. He does what he wants, and incomprehensibly for people every time. Here in this sermon, the third Exodus, Brother Branham says on page 2, remember, when I'm speaking, that goes round the world, and they take these messages back in the jungles and everywhere. And the Holy Spirit sometimes lead me to say something that might be the very thing that he wants for somebody way down in Australia, somewhere, or something. So, not just locally, or for those there, but led by the Spirit of God, for the whole church, for every situation that would arise. God made things known to him in advance. And for that, we are very grateful. We all know that such a ministry as he had could not have been for a local church, but for the universal church, for the body of the Lord. And what God spoke through him must be binding for all God's children. It must be our absolute. In one place, Brother Branham says, my absolute is the Bible. And he preached nothing but God's word, with the only difference that he received and passed on God's word by revelation. Just as Paul could say, it came to me by revelation. This forms the great difference between what preachers can say and what God has spoken. There are some things we want to look at very briefly tonight. And I'm deliberately not in a hurry, and I don't want to be loud or in any way give emphasis to the word from myself. God must do that. And if I only whispered, and it was God's word, and you receive it in your heart, then this word would become the power of God in you, because it is and remains God's word. We know that everything God does is for the building up of the church, and the kingdom of God is love, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Where the enmity was set up, there was the fall of man, there was the curse, there was what we read about in Genesis chapter 3. And then we come to the letter to the Ephesians. Here, in Genesis, in chapter 3, in verse 15, it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." We all know this story. We know what preceded it, namely the seduction of Eve, and then the seduction of Adam, the fall with all that went with it. And God told the serpent what he had to be told. He told Eve and also Adam. But you know that it is written directly in chapter 4, in verse 1. "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." And I come to this specifically because this question was presented to Brother Branham. He had spoken about the original sin and then asked the question. He said, "I understand everything so far, but Eve said that she gave birth to Cain with the help of the Lord." You know, you can be deceived and seduced by the serpent and then refer to the Lord. And that was not the first time. Oh yes, it was the first time, but not the last time. We live in a time of deception, and that is why it is so necessary that we heed God's word, and that we can and must test everything by the word of God. Then, in Ephesians, we read that this enmity has been abolished through the cross. Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." For he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." Here we are talking about the putting away of enmity through the cross and about the peacemaker who came forth as a new man through the blood of Jesus Christ. New people, born again people, are peacemakers. The middle wall of partition has been taken away, and those who were far off were made nigh. Paul says that God loved us in Christ while we were still his enemies. But through the cross, the enmity has been put away. Wherever the cross is removed, enmity is raised anew. And we all know what enmity exists and what is going on. We cannot close our eyes to these things, and we need the Holy Scriptures to tell us which side we are on. If there is enmity in us, then the enemy is in us, because enmity comes from the enemy. If the peace of God is in us, then he who is our peace is in our heart. These things are actually simple. They are sometimes confused and not properly understood. Where God is, there is love, because God is love. There we can bear with each other and accept each other as God has accepted us in Christ. And we do not see anything in any brother or sister that we would like to change. You cannot begin to transform anyone else, but we all, as individuals, must ask God and may ask Him to transform us by grace. But wherever the enemy has his hand in it, there will be hatred, envy, anger, discord, jealousy. There will be everything, but nothing divine. By their fruits ye shall know them. Not by their words, not even by their works, but by their fruits. And the fruit of the Spirit is very clearly described to us all in Galatians 5. We went through some of it yesterday, and we need to come back to it very briefly this evening. Before I do that, I would like to read from the sermon, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, on page 3. Love one another above everything. Love one another, no matter what the devil tries to say. Now you are all one great, big, sweet group. But remember my warning. Satan won't let that stay that way. No, sir. He will shoot everything. If he has to bring somebody in to make his target, he will bring some critic or unbeliever in and sit him down and cause him to fellowship with you under the quietness and things. And then he will shoot that guy with some kind of poison stuff, and he will start through the church with it. Don't you take sides with it. Don't you have nothing to do with anything else. You stay right loving and sweet and kind to one another. Here we already have a touchstone, and let me stop here for a moment. Even if the devil turns everything upside down, then your touchstone and mine is whether we can remain kind, whether we can remain loving, whether we can remain friendly to each other, that we distinguish between the brother and sister and the enemy who has struck the blow. And unfortunately, most people cannot do that. They get a hatred and everything that belongs to it or is connected with it, and that against a brother or against a sister. And then we no longer have any distinction. Then we do not understand what the Lord Jesus said to Peter, that is, at that moment, to the enemy. Get thee behind me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. But the Lord continued to love Peter dearly and only scolded the enemy. We love every brother and sister dearly with all our hearts. If anything is to be scolded, it is only the enemy, but not a brother and not a sister. On the contrary, divine compassion fills our hearts deeply for every brother and sister. The quote continues, "Pray for that man that he will be saved too, or that woman, or whoever it is, just pray for them." And stick one with another, and stay with your pastor. He is the shepherd, and you give him respects. He will lead you through, cause he is ordained of God to do so. Now someone may say, Brother Frank, you are surely reading this now for your own sake. Excuse me. I would be too embarrassed to do that. This is not about me. This is about the people of God, the blood-bought multitude. But this is what I want to tell you. If anyone claims to believe the message from the heart, then I mean that what we are reading here now also belongs to it. There are enough people who have excluded everything from the Word of God that did not fit into their program. And today, everything that does not fit into their program is excluded from the message. And I tell you, they always find the right explanation, always the right excuse. If you only wanted to listen to them, they always know better and always right. There's more. Now remember, the enemy will come. And when he does, just cling that much closer together. Our brother told us to stand shoulder to shoulder and fight against the power of the enemy. But if we fight against each other, then the enemy really laughs up his sleeve and thinks, I don't need to do anything more. I've messed them up, and now they can tear each other apart. And that must not be. And you will see from the Word of God that where there is hatred, envy, jealousy, and such discord, there Paul asks the Galatians the question, who has bewitched you? You have made such a good start. Who stopped you? It goes on here. And the one that the devil is using for an enemy will either get out or come in and be one of you. Don't never clan among one and talk. Don't make yourself clannish and talk. Don't do that. We are one. This is also part of God's message. This is also a warning, as Paul said at that time in Acts chapter 20. It continues here, I couldn't say, left hand, I'm mad at you, I'm going to take you away, cause you are not a right hand. It's my left hand. I want it to stay there. Even the little tip of my finger, I want it to stay right there. Every little part of my body stay right there. And God wants us, as a body of believers, to stay right exactly with one another. That is the will of God. And here one can say with a clear conscience, what God has joined together, let neither man nor devil put asunder. The body of Jesus Christ is made up of many members, but forms one unit. And when one member suffers, the whole body suffers. And if anyone thinks he can do it alone, without his brothers and without his sisters, he must be told, we will not reach the goal that way. God has prepared a biblical way for us to reach the goal. It goes on here, and now you've got tapes on that, on what we believe. You've got tapes on discipline in the church, how we behave ourselves in the church of God, how we got to come here together and sit together in heavenly places. Don't stay home. If God is in your heart, you can't hardly wait for them doors to open out yonder, to get in here, to fellowship with your brothers. That is also part of it. One must no longer read over such things. One must take them to heart. And Brother Branham goes on to say, if you don't feel that way, then I tell you, it's time for you to pray. Cause we are in the last days, where the Bible exhorts us, and the much more as we see the day approaching, to love one another with Christian love and divine love, to assemble ourselves together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and love one another. By this will all men know you are my disciples, when you have love one for the other. That's right. Stay right together. If you think that a brother or a sister is a little wrong, Say, Lord, don't let me never have the root of bitterness spring up, cause it will harm him, and it will take Christ right out of my life. That poison acids of malice and jealousy and hatred, that will just take the Holy Spirit right away from you. It will run him out from the tabernacle here. It will kill the Spirit of God or drive it away from here. It will hurt your pastor. It will do everything. It will take away the buckle. As the brother testified here one evening, that we have a buckle. This buckle is on the whole armor of God. Just pull her on. Tighten up. Move right up close to one another. Love one another. Talk nice about one another. Say nice things about one another. And then God will bless you. That's the thing, isn't it? That we talk about what God has done in our lives. Just be open and honest tonight. If anyone reports that God has saved a human soul, oh, how we rejoice. When someone says, God has performed a miraculous healing, oh, it's like a balm for our soul. We love to hear it. Why? Because God's word has been confirmed and the name of the Lord has been glorified. It does us so much good because we love the Lord and believe and also trust Him with all our heart. But when things are said that weigh us down, that cause us trouble, that depress us, what then? Then the Spirit of God is grieved. And when, as we are told here, this poisonous acid of malice, of jealousy and hatred are manifested, then the Holy Spirit is not only grieved, but is put out of our hearts and out of the church. And then we are only a church, but no longer the church of the living God, in which He can reveal Himself. And we want God to come into His own and are ready to face the test. Is there a poisonous acid in your heart? Is hatred and envy and malice and slander and all this? Or is love, joy, peace, which God has given us by grace? We have looked at it. It already started with Cain and Abel. Cain offered his sacrifice. God did not look at it. Abel offered his sacrifice. And God looked upon him and his offering in favor, accepted the sacrifice, and bore witness that Abel was pleasing to him. And with a moment of God's well-pleasing on Abel, hatred and jealousy and everything else that accompanied it rose up in Cain. The end of it was murder and manslaughter. It is the same to this day. Jesus said back then that all the blood of the prophets and saints was shed, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was murdered before the altar of burnt offering. Why? Because God's well-pleasing rested on these people. Outwardly, we could have found fault with anyone. But we can also find fault with ourselves. Inwardly, God tested their hearts and knew and recognized that they believed in Him with all their hearts. He blessed them, revealed His word and His will to them, and was with them. And we want God to be with us, with you and with me, and to be able to reveal Himself as He promised in His word. Just as a last quotation, and then we come very briefly to the Holy Scripture. Here it says, Lord Jesus, speaking to this body of the church, that they should hold together with God's unchanging hand through the absolute word, warning them, as Paul warned his flock, that there would be wolves enter in. You are the same God today as you were then, and also the enemy is the same. May this fellowship and bonds of love always exist amongst these people in Christ Jesus. That was his dearest wish, and I think when he said that the whole world will be like a lunatic asylum, full of hatred, and he uttered the words, only in the bride church will there still be love, and that is the love of God. So, we don't have to count on the world loving us, but that God has loved us, and all those whom God has loved out love Him and love all His children. And by this we know that we are of God. Wherever the Spirit of God is at work, and God can reveal Himself in truth, the building up of the body of Jesus Christ will take place in the love of God. Wherever the enemy is involved, there will be enmity. And you know very well, the enemy takes the word. He doesn't take too much. He takes a little, so it won't be so noticeable. If he took a whole chapter, then everyone would notice it. One passage, then we would also find out. One verse, well, then we might notice it too. He takes as little as possible and adds as much as possible to make it believable. That's what we see with Eve. And that's what we see throughout time. And it happens most and most quickly where people become impatient and want to help God along. We could go to the prophets of the Old Testament. You all know when God had it said that his people Israel would be in captivity for 70 years, a man named Hananiah stood up and prophesied that they would return shortly. And it all seemed so good, and it would have been all right with them if it had come to pass. And he even broke a yoke of wood. And the Lord gave the prophet Jeremiah the instruction, "Go and speak to him and say, a yoke of wood has he broken, and a yoke of iron will be put on them until a full 70 years have passed." There were always people who could not wait for God to reveal something to them. We know that the prophet Elijah had pronounced the judgment of God in the name of the Lord on Ahab and on Jezebel. What happened? 400 prophets were ready to say something good. We can mean it as well as we like. And what was it? A lying spirit. You can read the whole story. The prophet has seen it. Micah reports and says, "I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, while the whole heavenly host stood on his right hand and on his left. And he said, who will beguile Ahab?" And there came many things, and suddenly the lying spirit came and said, "I will go and become the lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets, and they will listen to me." And what was it? These prophets were nicely in prayer, and suddenly the lying spirit came upon them. And they too had a chairman, Zedekiah, and he made himself horns and said, "Thus saith the Lord, with such horns shalt thou drive out the enemies out of the land." What was it? They did not check their prophecy with the word of God that the Lord had spoken through the prophet Elijah. They prophesied freely. He who prophesies freely prophesies on his own inspiration and does not have to be surprised when the lying spirit has taken possession of him. If we go back to the prophet Ezekiel, he describes it so precisely as no other prophet has described it. Here, in chapter 13, from verse 1, right from the beginning, here it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord." Do you realize what is important? Hear ye the word of the Lord. But the bad thing is that all those who prophesy according to their own inspiration are not prepared to listen to the word of the Lord. Otherwise, they would not do anything on their own authority. That is the big problem. And it says here further, in verse 6, "They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord has not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision? And have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, the Lord says it, albeit I have not spoken. May we take to heart once and for all, he who speaks of God by inspiration of the Holy Spirit speaks according to the word of God, in complete conformity with what God has said in his word. Anything else bypasses God and God's word and brings down the people of God. And the end result is that we become spiritually paralyzed and like caught in a spell and can't move forward, and we struggle and tread water. And this spell, it has to be broken. We must, as the Lord said through the prophet Ezekiel, prophesy and speak to the prophets of Israel. You who prophesy according to your own inspiration, hear the word of the Lord. And when they hear the word of the Lord, they hear the truth. And when they hear the truth and believe the truth, they are set free from error. For falsehood and truth cannot come from one source. And as we read yesterday about the daughters of Israel who act as prophetesses according to their own convenience, sisters, let me be very clear. In the New Testament, there are only apostles, prophets, shepherds, teachers, and evangelists. There is no woman who is a prophetess, and there is no woman who is an apostle, and there is no woman who is a teacher, and there is no woman who is an evangelist. There is none of that. Where is the amen? There is no such thing. Or should it be said again? And here it is written, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart. There is a big difference between someone being a prophet and someone behaving as a prophetess. And you know very well, and I know it from my own experience, in the course of 30 years, I have come to know many things. And here and there were aunties sitting on a chair who everyone said were prophetesses. And what was it? It was deception. They should all have been told, ye who prophesy out of your own heart, first hear the word of the Lord, and then God will be able to go on with you. Of course, there are gifts that God operates through the sisters, the gift of prophecy, speaking in tongues, and interpretation, but all this has nothing whatsoever to do with the office of a prophet or with the ministry of a prophet. And the bad thing is that with men, the matter is not as bad as when women act as prophets. men just don't have a good enough grip on the matter. They stand out too quickly. They are not clever enough. And I say to you today, sometimes you hear it from people who believe the message. And in this case also sisters, they say, sure, we already know what was said, but the law has secured the right for us. Yes, it may be that a federal law has secured the right, perhaps even equality. But we are not going here by legislation held and made by men somewhere. We are going by divine legislation, for not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law until all has been fulfilled. Some people want to relegate God to the Old Testament in order to get rid of certain responsibilities so that they can then do as they please. No, it must be said once and for all clarity. Not Adam, but Eve was seduced. It was not Adam who listened to Satan, but Eve who listened to him. And every woman who does not submit to the man biblically automatically submits to Satan's rule. And then you may say, that's a hard thing. It has not been said hard enough, because it has long since become obvious. Of course, when one then says, I will not be dominated, then you already know exactly who is speaking, because that person is already dominated. And if she does not let herself be dominated by the man who is gentle with her, then she is dominated by someone else who is not gentle with her. Only with the difference that she does not understand. And that is the tragedy of it all. Sisters, some things Brother Branham has had to say are so hard-hitting that you could fall off your chair. But did he have to say it to our detriment? Or did he have to say it on a divine mandate, so that everyone would find their place ordered by God? And the little finger must stay where it is. God, Christ, man, woman. That is the divine order and arrangement. If we respect this divine order, everything will be fine. Then it continues here, wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your magic bandages, wherewith ye hunt the souls, and I will tear them from your arms, and will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly like birds. Your kerchiefs also will I tear, and deliver my people out of your hand. And they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now I would like to read the other verses. Because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. Therefore ye shall see no more vanity nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. This is God's word, and we see, I don't need to repeat it, what words and terms are used here in a context. But God will snatch His people out of everything. Is this about a sermon? No, this is not about a sermon. Is this about teaching? No, this is not about teaching. Here it is said, ye shall see no more vanity, nor divine divinations. For I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. By the proclamation of the word of God, no harm has yet been done. Nothing has yet been destroyed by the proclamation of the word of God. At most, the works of Satan, and these are to be destroyed, for that is what Christ appeared for. But God has never destroyed His own work. On the contrary, the ministries have been given for the edification of the church. But now we quickly come to the final word from the letter to the Galatians, which Paul addressed to the churches at that time and addresses to us today. Chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Here is the word, who has bewitched you. In the prophet we read that they sewed together magic bandages, caught people with them, and such people are skilled in sewing, in knitting, and best of all in spinning, and in the end everything has been spun and ensnared in such a religious way that people can no longer find their way out. And everything is presented in such a spiritual way that the ignorant fall for it. And these people are then abandoned and at the mercy of others. Here Paul writes, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? This was more than human activity. Here the enemy was behind it and stopped the people in his own way. Then he says in chapter 5, verse 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. What has happened here? Paul says, I have confidence in the Lord, in you. And then at the same time he says, but whoever troubles you, many have been troubled, and they wander about and no longer know where to go. They have lost their orientation. People who are drawn away from the Word of God lose their orientation. The only orientation we have is the Word of God. Everything else must be subordinated to this Word. Paul says, I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will not change your mind. He, such a great man of God, and then later has to write, all have turned away from me. All have forsaken me. No one stood by me. Such a great man of God, suddenly abandoned, standing alone, and asking himself, what has happened now? Here he says, but he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And now, read verses 14 and 15. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. All these things form a whole. Who has bewitched you? You have made such a beautiful beginning. Who stopped you? And then, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will not change your mind. But he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And these poor people who are misled, it's a biting, a devouring, a quarreling, a fighting. And it's going back and forth, a complete chaos and confusion. We know who is behind it. Where God is, there is no confusion. There is clarity. And we believe, as we looked at last night, that God has brought us out of Babylon, not to lead us into confusion again, but to lead us out. But we must beware that, like Achan, we take a Babylonish garment and wrap in it all these beautiful, precious things. And it says of things of gold and silver, and also the weight. Yes, gold and silver add weight. And Paul addresses the church and says, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and so forth. And it can happen that the most precious things are wrapped in such a Babylonish garment, and that the damage becomes all the greater. And that must not be. God sent his word and made them well. And we are ready to be led by the Spirit of God. And everyone must submit to the Word of God. And those who cannot must examine themselves to see what kind of spirit motivates them. You all know that we have to deal with these things in order to renounce everything that does not build up, that destroys. And it is written, He who does not gather scatters, and he who does not build up tears down, and he who is not a blessing is a curse, and he who does not speak the truth is a liar, and he who does not submit to God submits to the enemy. These are all things that we need to know and take to heart. I mean that God has led us to a turning point, and that we can look up to Him in faith and trust, in the blessed assurance that He is watching over His church, and that He will lead her to perfection. And one day, we will be grateful for all the experiences we have had, however bitter they may have been. You all know, some experiences are very bad that a person has to go through. But if God has a special purpose in it, then we want to endure it. And I mention it here of Joseph in the Old Testament. What had he done? God had only revealed to him what was going to happen. And he was to distribute the food at the time of the famine. And what happened? He was betrayed. He was sold, thrown into the pit, put in prison, falsely accused, and all sorts of things. And we would say, if God has something great in mind for a man, why doesn't he lead him somewhere at the top so that he doesn't strike his foot against a stone? God's ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. As much higher as the heavens are above the earth, so much higher are His thoughts than our thoughts. We want to say yes to Him, yes to His word, saying yes when we are betrayed, saying yes when we are thrown into the pit, saying yes when we are put in prison. Joseph knew all along what God had destined him to do. And that gave him the strength to love and persevere. He did not hate his brothers at all, but they hated him without a cause. He would have had a cause and did not. They had no cause and did it. That is how we see the whole story. Our God is a glorious God. In Joseph, there was nothing but the grace of God. And he said, "Brothers, stop crying. Do not reproach yourselves anymore. God has arranged all this to keep you alive." If God walks such a path with me or with us in these days in order to give His people the right spiritual food, the word revealed for this time, then everything has been worthwhile. And I believe that with all my heart, that God has to go a way of preparation that looks very different from what your way and mine would look like. But the Lord, of course, said to Peter, "When you get older, you will no longer be able to go where you want. Then someone else will gird you." And so it is. Brother Branham preached the sermon of Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I no longer want to be a prisoner of circumstance, but a prisoner of Jesus Christ and a freedman of the Lord. to proclaim liberty to the captives, to offer bread to the hungry, and to pass on what God has intended for each one. And God will do it. Blessed and praised be His wonderful and holy name. God will pluck His people out of everything and reveal Himself to them anew, and will lead and guide us all according to His will. We want to submit ourselves completely and totally to this Word of God and say, Lord, guide me by Your Spirit according to Your precious and holy Word. He will do it. Do you all believe it? He will do it. That is what He has promised. Worship and glory to His name. Amen.